Sir Ian McKellen is our guest in the studio.
We become cooler by virtue of the fact that Mr. McKellen has chosen to visit us here this morning.
Yeah, I
think we get tomorrow off, come to think of it.
Do we become sirs?
No, it doesn't work that way.
Oh. I here am I on your show feeling that I've become hotter.
We spoke with Ian about the Da Vinci Code movie, which opens up on Friday, May the 19th. A week later, on Friday, May 26th, is a little film called The X-Men, The Last Stand. Now, you knew when you first signed up to be Magneto, the plan was there were going to be multiple movies. It wasn't a surprise to you that there's a series, right? You've been doing a lot of these.
Well, yeah. I was signed up to do two movies, but the third one was an extra, and the fourth will be another extra, I suppose, if that happens. It was likely there would be a continuation because the comics have been published over so many years, and right. the films are, in a sense, following that.
The X-Men is one of those comic book movies, and I don't mean that pejoratively to say that, but that, you know, that's the source material, that got it so right, though. I mean, you don't have to know one thing about the X-Men to walk into one of those movies and have a great time. They are
that's
magnificent.
That's true, because I didn't.
I didn't either.
Yeah,
but I love the movies.
Yeah. Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Marvel, who publish it, were on... I think are on record, certainly to me, as saying that this is their favourite comic of all the ones that they published.
Right.
Because it has more point to it, perhaps, than Superman. I mean, the story of Superman and Spider-Man and the Hulk and James Bond, let's face it, is the same one. You know, the nerd
right.
shows his underclothes and becomes a giant.
The hero, right?
The hero. But X-Men is actually about something... more than fantasy. It's about a fantastic world, but it relates back to the real world in which the readers actually and the viewers of the movie actually find themselves. And the demographic is young gays, young blacks, and young Jews. Those are the people who like X-Men most because they relate their own particularity and the fact that society may be a little bit discontented with them to the mutancy of the characters in the novels.
Is there a black Jewish gay guy out there who's getting ready to explode? I mean, that's just too much.
I don't think it's the same guy.
He's putting on various clothes and looking at himself in the mirror.
Now, in this one, there's a cure for mutancy, right?
Yes, a fantastic.
There's a chance that everybody can get rid of all of this.
Well, you see, there's a cure for being gay. Did you know that?
Sure, of course.
Well, you've
we've heard that a lot.
You've obviously taken it.
Really, really, really hard.
No, but we have heard about that a lot.
Well, you know, and some black people would like to turn themselves white or straighten their
course,
hair, whatever
yeah.
it is. It's related to that. That's what I mean about mm-hmm. that, this, right. these stories being about something. And yeah, is it a good idea to be cured of your mutancy?
Right.
That's an argument within the film. And what happens if you want to fight against that possibility of being injected by the state? And gets injected anyway and lose all your powers, as some of the characters do. It's a real dreadful
And your
story.
Character, Magneto, has an argument with Patrick Stewart's character.
Of course, mm-hmm. as always.
Giant battle.
They always do.
Right.
Oh. The Hugh Jackman is back in the movie. Halle Berry is in the movie. And I've only seen stills. I've not seen video footage of Kelsey Grammer, though.
Oh, you wait till you see Kelsey Grammer.
He's a member of the Blue Man Group?
Yeah, I don't...
Is that right? I'm confused.
I don't know why he bothered doing it, because you can't tell it's him. I mean,
really?
It could be anybody.
Yeah.
That. But what a gent he is. I had to get back from filming... to go and do a Christmas show in London on stage, and there was no way. I just had to be there, and so very sweetly the director organised this schedule so that I did all my stuff at once.
Oh, that's nice.
And in comes Kelsey Grammer, who I'd only just met that day, in that full blue makeup and fur it takes him 4 hours to put on, and all he's doing all day long is being shot on the back of his head while I emote and get my way back to London. And
no
I kept saying... I'm so sorry we're meeting on these conditions. Man, you've got to get back and do that show. You've got to get back in. No. What a sweetheart.
He's great, isn't he?
Absolutely delightful. Mm.
He's a great guy. We've been over to his house a few times. We've talked and we've interviewed him a few times. He's just nobody more normal and...
Yeah.
Easygoing.
Yes,
and
he's
fantastic.
Yeah.
The Da Vinci Code is on the 19th of May, and then X-Men Last Stand is on Friday, May 26th. I'm going to close by asking you one more question, Sir Ian, and this is from an emailer, Molly. I remember the last time you were on, we asked you a bunch of questions because we'd never had a sir in our studio before, and we asked you about the knighting of from the Queen and all that. But Molly wants to know, hey, guys, if you get the chance, could you ask Sir Ian to tell the story about the time that he and Dame Judi Dench sat on the thrones at Buckingham Palace? True?
Yes, it is. I don't know what event it was, but every so often the Queen opens up Buckingham Palace and has a bit of a party, and Judi Dench and I were at it. I was sitting next to the Queen's sister, the late Princess Margaret, and opposite was Prince Charles. I didn't quite know where I was. It was ridiculous. It was some time ago, because I remember asking for a cigarette and a butler coming round, not only with an ashtray, but with a full supply and choice of cigarettes.
Very nice.
The last bastion of smoking at Buckingham Palace. Don't you like that? There's some virtue in having old-fashioned attitudes, after all. Anyway, after the dinner, Judy and I found ourselves in a large ballroom with a band playing, mm-hmm. and we were the only people dancing on the floor and having a nice time. And I said, hang about, Judy, do you know where we are? This is actually the throne room. She said,
oh,
is it? Well, where's the throne? I said, well, I think it must be behind the band. So we waltzed gently round.
Wait a minute.
Got
you,
behind the band.
You weren't supposed to?
I don't suppose to. I don't know, really. But nobody's going to tell you can't do anything in that.
Sure.
And there, indeed, were two thrones, one for the Duke of Edinburgh and one for the his husband,
wow.
his wife, the Queen. And Judy sat on one and I sat on the other very, very briefly. Oh. As we famously played the wicked couple Macbeths, who wanted to be King and Queen of Scotland and succeeded.
Right.
That was our precious moment.
Did you pass any laws while you were sitting there?
No.
I don't know how that works,
we
but...
passed wind and got on.
So, Sir Ian McKellen ends the interview with a fart joke, ladies and gentlemen. Can't go wrong there. The Da Vinci Code on the 19th, X-Men, The Last Stand on the 26th. Always great to have you, sir. I hope you'll come
lovely
back and see us again.
I'd love to do that. Bye-bye.
Thank you.